guys for Sunday?
How am I going to list them?
Yeah.
You know, the rule actually changed. The way we the probable doubtful out, it's what is it now? It's questionable and out. So if they basically are cleared medically, you know, during the week, you don't even have to list them anymore. It's just the ones that are in the questionable category are the ones now. So it's just two categories.
Specifically,
who are you asking about?
Well, I guess on the injury report yesterday, you had, Destiny was on there at one point, Pump, and Darby's obviously out.
Out.
I'm sorry?
Those three?
Those three are all out.
Yeah.
And then I think there was a fourth guy. That.
I'm curious.
Darby, you know, Darby because of the ankle, yeah.
In Darby's case, you cannot put him on IR. Does that indicate that you're expecting him back before we get... before that 8-week window that
we're up. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously it's a significant, ankle injury week to week, obviously. Not ready to play a week later, obviously, this week. So, yeah, we're hopeful. Want to make sure, as I've said before, want to make sure he's 100%. But the hope is that, yeah, we get him back.
See Qualls maybe in this game with Destiny out?
There's a chance. We've worked him this week in practice, so he's definitely has an opportunity to play in this game, yeah.
What have you seen out of Rasul Douglas this week?
Kind of where he picked up from camp. I mean, he's going to have a role, obviously, this weekend, and he's picking up the game plan. He understands what his role is, at the corner position. So, if called upon, he'll be ready. We haven't made the final decisions yet, but there's a possibility. Yeah.
What have you seen from the new kicker in practice this week?
I've seen a good amount of consistency. He had the one miss yesterday, obviously, but it was just a little bit of a pull. But he big leg, very accurate. Kickoffs were good. Really excited to watch him kick Sunday.
What is your experience with kickers that when they get into a game, you just don't know what to expect with a new guy, or do you kind of have a good
sense? We feel like we got a good sense. I mean, there's tape on him, obviously, from preseason, and what we've seen this week in practice. So yeah, got a good feel for what he's capable and what he can do.
Having him instead of Caleb, will that affect any of your decisions on Sunday in terms of
that's a great question, because that's something we discussed during the week. But this place, Arrowhead, the winds obviously can swirl around in this place. And I think you just got to trust. I just got to trust my gut, trust my instinct, and trust the players. I've said that all along. I can't, I can't go in here, second guessing myself or a decision. I gotta pull the trigger, and if I feel like we're gonna kick the field goal, then we'll kick it. So it's not gonna change my decision making one way or the other.
When you formulate your game plan, offensive game plan for the week, is Carson in the room with you?
No.
And then how do you go about? I mean, you have done a pretty good job of doing what he likes, right? Is that just what he likes?
Over time, and being around him for this past year and during training camp, he brings ideas to us. He's studying the tape just like we are, offensively, and so he'll bring an idea or two that he likes, or we talk about personnel, matchups, things of that nature. But he's not necessarily in the room at 10 o'clock at night when we're putting and formulating the plan.
He mentioned that he'll sometimes come over to the sideline though in the middle of the game and suggest something.
Because I listen. You get in the game and you're looking for a drive starter. You're looking for a play during that drive or the next drive coming up. So he'll come over and say, hey, what are you thinking? And I've circled a couple, two, three, four plays on my sheet. Then I ask him, I says, what do you like right here, in this situation? And he'll give me a couple ideas. I think it's the only way you can be successful, I think, is listen to your players. And he does a great job of that. And we communicate extremely well during the games.
Is that normal or rare for a young quarterback to take that kind of active approach?
I think it's rare. I don't think it's the case everywhere. I can't speak for every team that has a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback that's playing. I just know what Carson does here and what works, and and what we feel comfortable with. And I love the dialogue. I mean, I love the conversation, not only during the week, but obviously on the game day. I think it's important. And, you know, again, he's the one out there pulling the trigger, so I want to make sure he's comfortable with plays that I call.
Has that evolved since last year?
It has. It has. I don't want to say it's like gone way over or too extreme, but it's definitely we did it last week during the game, second half of the game, and we'll continue that.
What play?
What play? Let me think. It was a play action pass. In fact, it's funny because we were both actually thinking we were both thinking the exact same. We had two play action passes, and one of them was kind of our first one, and I had it starred on my sheet, and he looked at it, and he liked the one. It was the one we hit to Alshon later in the game, I believe in the fourth quarter, that sort of extended the drive. It was one that we both had our finger on. What happened? Just a run and play, service team, and tore his hamstring.
He tore
his hamstring.
So is that the long-term injury
for? Yeah, we haven't made that decision yet. You know, we're going to get some more information again on this one, but it's significant, so we'll have to evaluate it going into next week.
You spoke a lot about having a chance to develop him now. What's this do for his development?
Well, it definitely, you know, it'll set him back because he won't be up, you know, be able to run and do all the things that we want him to do. But you know, it's just it's unfortunate. You know, we know it's part of the game, but. Yeah, we'll keep him plugged in the meeting rooms and, you know, around the team and keep him plugged in that way.
Is there a timetable yet?
No, not at all.
Doug, what have you found your emotions to be this week as you get ready to face your old team and your mentor?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, early in the week it was really just business as usual and game planning and, you know, kind of watching the tape and studying the tape. And it's kind of like watching you know, the familiarity with the guys over there because you're watching the defensive side of the ball, you know, a lot. And you know, the closer you get to the game, you just start to get a little more tunnel vision, a little more focused, more driven, I think. And it'll be exciting. It'll be fun. You know, I know the emotions will be they'll be flying high, but I'll keep them in check the best I can. And it'll be a great atmosphere to play ball on Sunday.
Have you had any communication with Andy this week?
I have not. I have not.
You'll wait until the game
I'll
day.
I'll wait till game day.
Defense coach? I mean, on the defensive side of the ball, are you going to spend a little more time on the defensive side of the ball because you know Smith's tendencies, you know, tendencies of offense?
Yeah, this week, you know, Jim and I have had some conversations about some of his mannerisms, some of the things that Alex is you know, keen and prone to do in certain situations. We've talked about some route combinations, you know, what Kelsey likes. Obviously, the way they use Tyreek is a special player on offense, and you know it's very similar to some of the same formations and motions and shifts that we run here. So our guys will be familiar with that. But yeah, we've had those conversations this week on just little things that they might be thinking, you know, offensively.
Coached both of the Kelsey brothers. Can you just talk about the pretty distinctly different guys? Talk about their differences personality-wise.
Yeah, they're a little night and day. I would say that, you know, Travis is definitely more of the probably the excitable, fly by the seat of your pants, you know, charismatic guy. You know, Jason is obviously a very cerebral guy, probably a little more, you know, level-headed that way. I mean, I have a brother. I have two brothers, and totally different. You know, totally polar opposites. And these two are probably the same way. Obviously, talented family to both be playing in the National Football League and to be playing against each other. I think is an honor for the family. But you know, Travis is good at what he does. Jason obviously is great at what he does, and both teams are excited to have the players.
Difficult to kind of get like two or three different guys into a rhythm. I mean, obviously you want to get LeGarrette the ball, but you know, you also have Wendell and Sproles and, you know, maybe Corey. You know, is that tough finding a rhythm for those guys?
it can be a challenge early in the game, but at the same time, once you find something that works and a combination of runner, running style, running play, you try to keep coming back to that particular play throughout the game until an opponent can stop it. So it's kind of like a quarterback maybe that struggles early in a game, and you go into a hurry-up tempo offense to kind of get them into that rhythm. It can be the same for a running back.
How important is it to get that going against a defense like the Chiefs? You've got to have better results than last week, right?
Oh, for sure. We got to be able to run the ball better. But at the same time, you know, this is another – it's a challenging group. Very similar front from a structure standpoint that we just faced with the Redskins. But – these guys are good at what they do, obviously, and you know, it's a challenge. It's a challenge every week, but that's something that we focused on, and got to get the running game, because I think that just carries over into our play action world.
Have you found yourself going through the whole mind game thing when it comes to facing Reed, where you know he's expecting this, so I'm going to go here, you know, that kind of deal?
I've put myself in those situations this week, you know, kind of understanding game situations and. Probably more so thinking, kind of knowing what he's thinking a little bit, you know, and then how would I react, you know, obviously, and putting myself and going through those exercises that way, you know. But again, once the game gets here and we kick it off, all that goes aside, and you know, he's wanting to beat me, I'm wanting to beat him, and just try to get our guys in position to be successful.
In your years together, what's your best Andy Reid story?
Best Andy Reid story? There's several. No, I heard about that one. Three entrees. You know, the thing is with Andy, I mean, it's a lot of the stuff that he and I went through. You know, a lot of it was late night, just sort of behind closed doors, just talking, and just a lot of it's just reminiscing about our days in Green Bay or our days in Philadelphia. You know, we bring up plays, we bring up, you know, situations. We talked about a lot of stuff, and even just talking about family, and you know, that was probably those are the moments that you cherish the most. You know, when you're working, you know, that closely with a guy that I have a lot of respect for, and you know, those late night meetings when it's just really he and I in the building and everyone else has gone home, and you know, it's 11:30 or midnight, and we're just kind of, you know, telling stories or he's listening to, you know, Zach Brown Band or something going on in the office. But those are really the moments that I've cherished the most with him. Okay, thanks.